You're listening to a podcast of Mission Community Church. For sermon resources and to learn more about our church, visit mission68.org.
All right, I can tell this is going to be the party crowd. This is good. I'm going to loosen up a little bit here. Here we go. So I have a shorter amount of time than normal to preach in our Christmas Eve services. But even if I had the full amount of time, right, there's no way you can capture the fullness of the meaning of Christmas in any one message. And yet, if you had to pick a word, right, if you had to pick one word that you think most captures the meaning of Christmas, which word would it be? Just go ahead and shout out the word you'd pick. Say it again. Big blur. Okay, go ahead. Love. Presence, okay, cool, yeah. Hope, good. Those are all excellent answers. So I think if I had to pick one, I'd pick the one that you shouted out, love, right? That's really Christmas morning. God demonstrated his love for us. He says, this is what true love looks like. And then we're supposed to go out and love others the way that we've been loved. And we always want you to see things from Scripture here. So if you would go ahead and open up your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. If you have no idea where 1 John is, let me help you look like a Bible scholar here on Christmas Eve. Just go to the end and then hang a left and you'll find it real quick, okay? 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world. So there's Christmas morning, right? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So he says, this is what love looks like. God showed it to us on Christmas morning. He sent his one and only son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Knowing when he sent Jesus, there would be a cross, there would be a sacrifice, a payment made for our sins. And he says, this is what love looks like. When God shows us love, this is what it looks like. And then in verse 11, he says, dear friends, now you go forth into your world and your relationships and love others as you've been loved. But my guess is that for most of us in 2013, in at least one of our most significant relationships with somebody, you probably experienced something that felt like the opposite of that, like not true love. You probably experienced something else in 2013. And for some of you, this was the year that you just felt your marriage slipping away, right? And for some of you, you were arguing today on Christmas Eve and you got out of your car, right? You got out of your car to get here and you could barely talk to each other maybe, you know, and you get to the door and there's somebody with a red scarf that handed you a Christmas program and said, Merry Christmas. And you took it and you're like, Merry Christmas. But for some of you, you're like, no, that's actually not my story. Like, I almost wish we had at least some passion in our relationship, but this thing has been so lifeless for so long, and I don't even know how many more years I'm going to be able to endure this. And for some people, it's not a marriage at all. For some people, it's a relationship with a parent or with a child or with a friend. But my guess is, for all of us, the best gift that we could possibly receive on Christmas would be a renewed, restored relationship with somebody very close. Like, how much better would that be than a, you know, gift card to Bed Bath & Beyond? Right? And God says, okay, so if you want that, here's what this looks like. Look at Christmas morning. This is what true love looks like. Now, dear friends, go love that way in your relationships, in your world. And I think that the difficult part for us as we enter into any conversation about love and we enter into texts like this that call us to love as we've been loved, the problem is we all enter into the conversation with a different definition of what love is. And if I can just, for three minutes, talk to the men in here, man to man. So women, you're allowed just to check out for 3 minutes. I don't know what you do when you check out. We're normally the ones that do that. But you check out, women, okay? But men, let's have the man to man talk for just a minute. I get it. That some of you really don't want to be here. I wasn't raised a Christian. I get it. Some of you, you're here for the kids, for your wife, And maybe you've thought like, man, the church is a feminine institution. And you come here, for goodness sakes, we've got a love candle, right? And then I get up here and I say, we're going to do this sermon on deeply loving one another, like true love. And there's something in you that's just kind of saying to you, that's a chick sermon, right? Like that's what women do. They eat, pray, and love. That's what they do, right? We're men. We hunt, kill, and gather. There's a difference. And so let's leave the love talk to the women, and we'll do the hunter-gatherer talk, you know, the men. And if that's you in any way, shape, or form, let me just say this, just man to man, let's be honest. We've been shaped by a pretty twisted culture that's really weakened our understanding and minimized our understanding of manhood and warped our view of what love looks like. And men didn't always think this way, right? I mean, for the greatest poetry ever written, the most beautiful love songs ever written. They're recorded in Scripture, actually. There's this book in your Bible called Psalms. You ought to check that out when you get home. It's called Psalms. And the guy who wrote most of them was a guy by the name of David. And guys, I don't know if you know this, but David was the kind of guy, he could eat you and I for breakfast. Like you'll probably remember this, the stories about David, right? Like when he was a boy, he went after the largest Philistine soldier on the planet, went straight at him with a sling and a stone and killed him. And then the story doesn't end there. You know what he did next? He goes over to the soldier, straddles the dead soldier, takes his sword, and hacks the dude's head off. I mean, I get woozy when I look at the replays of RG3's knee injury. This guy was hacking a head off, okay? And by the way, if you were concerned about bringing your 9-year-old son in here wondering whether or not we would be able to hold his attention, you're welcome. Right? And this is the guy, right? This is the guy that when he was watching over the family flock, because he was a shepherd, he killed a lion. And not with a Remington 700. With a knife that he probably made. This is the kind of man this guy was. And so at night, around the fire, probably with that knife by his side, he wrote the world's greatest poetry and love songs ever recorded. So men, listen. Let's not let Jack Reacher define what manhood looks like, right? We're better than that. We're capable of loving far more deeply than that, men. Men, if you're with me, give me a hoorah.
Hoorah!
Oh, that was good. You guys are the party crowd. All right, good. All right, women, time to check back in. All right, women, come on back. Because women, this is not just a guy problem, right? This is an us problem, me problem, you problem, right? That we enter into the conversation about love with different definitions of love. And I'm gonna say this. I think most of us have a warped definition of love, and we would never say it this way, but if we just look at how most of us operate in relationships, we're operating off of a working definition of love that goes something like this. The extent to which you make me happy, that's how much I love you. So if you make me really happy, I'm gonna really love you. But if you're not really good at making me happy, I'm not really gonna be very good at loving you, and I'm probably gonna go find somebody else that makes me happier because I want to feel love. And let's just always call things what they are. Let's just be straight shooters here, okay? Like, that's not loving the other person. That's loving who? Yourself, right? If I just love people who make me happy, I'm just loving me. And I don't want to in any way ever use this stage to talk down to people, because I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to you, and I'll just be real transparent with you. My wife and I, we've been married for 29 years, but the first 5 years, only by the grace of God did we get through the first 5 years. Complete train wreck, right? And the core problem was we were both madly in love with the same man. Yeah. And I didn't know how to love another person. I mean, I grew up under this definition of love, where you surround yourself with things and people that make you happy, and then that's what love is. And when those things or people stop making you happy, you move on to other things and people. And then all of a sudden, I found myself in this lifelong commitment with this woman who didn't seem to understand that it was her full-time job to make me happy. Now, for the record, I deeply love my wife, and she makes me deeply happy. But in my immaturity as a young man, I was unable to love her because I was loving myself so much. And that is a recipe for disaster for any relationship that you find yourself in. And so if we're going to turn that around, if we're going to love the way that we've been loved by God, we're going to have to love differently, right? And so what I want to do is go back into the text and take a closer look of at Christmas morning and the love that God demonstrated for us there so that we can be better at carrying that into our relationships. 1 John chapter 4, let's dig in just a little bit deeper. Verse 9, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world so that we might live through him. We were heading toward the cliff in our sin and in our rebellion against God, and yet his concern was for our highest good. He didn't want us going over that cliff to death. He wanted to give us life, that we might live in him. So Christmas morning, he sent his son, a sacrificial gift. Look at verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The best definition I can really come up with for love, for true love, from this text and really from the entire Bible is this. True love is self-sacrificing commitment to the highest good of another. That's really what love is. And that's the opposite, right? It's the opposite of, oh, you make me happy, I love you. Oh, you make me sad. Like, that's the opposite of that. It's not actually, I'm committed to your highest good, and therefore I'm going to sacrifice self in that commitment to your good. That's what Christ did for us. That's what Christmas morning was. God sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, committed to our highest good. And that's a hard thing to do. That's difficult. That means if we're gonna love like that in our relationships, that means that I'm gonna say no to some things I wanna say yes to, and yes to some things I wanna say no to, because I'm committed to your highest good. See, and that's difficult. That's gonna take more than feelings, because there's gonna be a lot of times when you're not gonna feel like doing that. It's gonna take commitment. Self-sacrificing commitment. Because it's easy to love people that just make you happy. Dogs do that, right? Loving somebody when you see the ugliness in them and still committed to, that takes commitment to love them, but that's exactly how God loved us. Verse 10, again, take an even closer look. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Do we understand this, right? The Bible says this over and over and over again. It's clear in this verse. God didn't choose to demonstrate his love to us because we were such a catch, right? God didn't look down on this broken, messy world filled with people like you and me and go, you guys are so cuddly and lovable and godly and wonderful, and you love me so much, I just have to love you back. It's like, no, actually, when you didn't love me, I chose to love you. Right? In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? When we were saying, God, I know you say to go that way, I don't care. I'm going this way. Right? When we were spoiled, obnoxious brats, when we were like, I don't know if I believe in you, let alone love you, he still chased after us on Christmas morning and sent his son as a sacrifice for us that we might live through him. He was committed to our highest good. That's true love. And some of us, right, maybe you're in a relationship and you're just thinking, how could I be expected to love this person who's been so ugly? And I don't mean to minimize it, but I would say this. That is exactly how God loved you and me. He saw all the ugliness of our sin and our rebellion against him, and he still chose to love us, to self-sacrifice in his commitment to our highest good. And here's the best gift, right? Here's the best gift you can give somebody this Christmas. Get face-to-face with that person that you probably already have in your head as we've been talking about this renewed, restored relationship with somebody very close. Get face-to-face with that person, maybe tonight. And don't text this, okay? Face-to-face, right? and say something like this. I know it's been a really, it's been a rough year. And I know I've been pretty ugly. And I can only imagine that at times you probably feel like, and certainly I sometimes feel like, it would just be easier to quit. But I want you to know, I'm not running away from you, I'm running toward you. And I'm fully committed to loving you. I'm fully committed to your highest good. That would be a great Christmas present. People of Mission, let's give others the gift of true love this Christmas. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for demonstrating true love to us. We thank you for Christmas morning. We thank you that you didn't just let us go in our sin and our rebellion and our running away from you, that you pursued us. You chased us down on Christmas morning. You sent your Son into this world as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. You were committed to our highest good. And God, you tell us that we now should go forth and love as we've been loved. Would you help us, God, because we tend to do the opposite. I tend to do the opposite. God, would you give us strength to love in a way that demonstrates the self-sacrificing commitment that you had to us. God, would you help us to love others in the same way? We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.